Bulletin. Hopefully got a bulletin on the way in. And we're going to be looking at whether or not we're walking worthy of our calling. That word calling is kind of a nebulous word to some. You know, it seems to be kind of floating around out there. It's hard for us to identify exactly what that means. So that's something that we're going to attempt to do today, is to get a better handle on what that word calling means in the scripture. I think it's an important word. Sometimes we think it only applies to people in ministry, you know, as somebody who has accepted the call to full-time ministry of some sort. We need to understand that any believer is actually a minister, amen? And we're all called to be ministers of gospel in some way or another. We're going to also understand that as we look at Romans chapter 11, verse 29, the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. What does that word irrevocable mean? Yeah, it's not going to be revoked, right? And he's not taking it back, and you can't make him take it back. I think that may be the more important part. Sometimes we try to nullify whatever the calling is that God has on our life. And so we're going to be talking about that a little bit more. But before we do, let's have a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. And thank you for allowing us to be here today. It's a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. It's a blessing to be called to be children of God. See, I just used the word in the prayer. Called. You have called us. There's this general calling that goes out, Lord. You're calling people to repent, turn their lives over to you. And Lord, that calling has to become factual in our lives as we turn to you and as we allow you to do your will in our life. We become children of God. That's such a beautiful thing. It's so amazing. And as we see that it's all initiated and done by you, as we agree to follow you, we should see how really thankful that we should be and what kind of life we should live. And so Lord, bless us as we look at your word today from Ephesians chapter 4 verses 1 through 7. It's all about your grace. It's your grace that calls us. It's your grace that sets us free. It's your amazing grace. And it is amazing. So help us to live lives worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand for the reading of God's word this morning, if you're able to. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Praise God for the reading of his word. God bless the reading of your word this morning and help us to understand it. In Jesus' name, amen. You can all sit in. So let's explore that word calling just a little bit from a biblical perspective. This is by far not a complete list of all the different places that you're going to find this word, but I just want to explore a few of them because I want us to understand what this calling is about. So first of all, he mentions it here in Ephesians 4. He's saying he's a prisoner of the Lord. He's expressing out the calling God had put on his life. That God is his Lord. Jesus is his Lord. And so he's a prisoner to do the will of Jesus. He said that earlier in this letter. And he from that position, in working out of his calling, he's beseeching them. That means to beg us. To beg the Ephesian church, and I believe it's just as much for us today, to walk worthy with which you were, of the calling with which you were called. So let's look at some other areas of Scripture where it talks about our calling. What are we called to? Well, Steve answered the question, so that's all part of it. But we're called to something even before we serve, right? And then we're called to serve. We're all called to be servants in here. Do I get an amen? Does anybody else want to say what you're called to? Salvation. Any other callings out there? Faith? Forgiveness? Ministry? Baptism? Call to care for the other? Reconciliation? Follow Jesus. I'm just repeating them so everybody can hear it in case you can't hear them. That's good. This is good. We keep thinking about the things that we're really called to. Because here's the thing, guys. If we understand who it is that's doing the calling, it's kind of hard for us to just say no, isn't it? If we're saying that Jesus is Lord, that means he's our king. That means he's our boss. Whenever he calls us, what kind of an answer is no? It's unacceptable, really. If he's Lord, that's not an acceptable answer to give Lord. So let's think about that, and we're going to explore some of these different answers you guys gave us. It's awesome. You guys are doing an awesome job this morning. So let's look at Romans chapter 1, verses 6 through 7. Among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. The called of Jesus Christ. You're called to be his representatives. You're called to be his ambassador, it talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You're called of Jesus Christ. He called you, folks. If you're saved today, it's because he called you to salvation. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. You're called to be saints. Some of you guys are sitting back here thinking, I don't know if that word fits very well. We're still a work in progress, amen? But you're called to be saved. And he calls those who are not as though they already are, the Bible talks about. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. By God's grace that we can receive this calling. Your calling from Philippians chapter 1, verses 29 through 30. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. Did you know you're called to suffer as well? Whoa! You know, sometimes when the suffering hits, we're like, hey, hold on, this ain't what I signed up for. Amen? Been there and done that. He's telling us up front, without a doubt, not only are you called to believe in him, it's been granted to you on behalf of Christ to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, Paul is speaking, and now here is in me. Continuing with this thought, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. Your calling. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourself to former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. You are called to be holy. Everybody's like, whoa, hold on now. No, guys, holy means set apart. God called you to be set apart from the rest of the world to follow him. And we won't do it perfectly. But you know what? If he called you and he's your Lord, you can't say no. And if you look at the list of the things he told us to walk away from, so that we can be obedient children, not conforming ourselves to our former lusts as in your ignorance. You may have once been ignorant to it, but once you've received that calling from God, you're no longer ignorant. Now it's time for us to respond with a hearty, yes, Lord. You have called me to be set apart. Now here I am. It doesn't mean you're going to become perfect like that. Amen? I didn't, so I'm hoping that I'm not different than the rest of you guys. But it means we are set apart, and that is our direction. We are to be like him, and that's what our calling is. Our calling from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. Peter had a lot to say about our calling. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Who's he speaking to here? The church, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are called out of darkness, folks. You no longer should walk in darkness. You no longer can claim ignorance because the light has been turned on in our hearts. He has shown us what his will is for us. And if he is Lord, what is the proper answer? Yes, Lord. Yes. I want to walk in your marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God. You are the people of God. You represent him in this world. You represent a kingdom of light. Now I'm going to ask you something, folks. Why do people do most of their bad deeds in darkness? So nobody sees. Are they going to be happy when the light gets turned on? And it exposes the shame. Don't expect everybody to be happy about it. Remember, we were called to suffer too. So it's okay, let's just be the light. Let's just be what we're called to be. Let's just let it shine and don't hide it under a bushel basket. Did somebody say that once? I think it was Jesus, the one we call Lord. So we're not to hide our light, we're to let it shine. And because we are now the people of God who have not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. Now have obtained that mercy. Your calling, another one from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. But may the God of all grace who called us to eternal glory by Jesus Christ. You are called to eternal glory. Come on, I only got one amen on that. Come on. Do you want eternal glory? Come on. Yes, amen. That's what we're hoping for. We can't wait to do it. We can't wait to be there. We can't wait to experience it. You know what? You don't have to wait. You can experience it right now. As you follow Jesus Christ wholeheartedly, you're going to experience a little taste of that eternal glory from day to day. Man, I'll tell you, when God touches you and he shows you something, isn't that the most glorious thing? When you know it's him speaking to you, you've got that communion with him. Wow, that's what we're called to. And imagine walking with him in heaven. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. I can't wait. After you have suffered a while. You see, I told you the good news first. There's some suffering we got to go through to get there because this is a cold, cruel world. But it's going to be okay. because it's perfecting us. That means it's helping us get complete, established, strengthened, and settle us. Because you know why? That's what you're called to. That's our calling. Our calling from 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Can you imagine? You're called a child of God. How amazing. You're called to be one, and you are one, and that's what you're called when other people see you, if you're living out that relationship worthy of your calling. You see where I'm going with this? Because you see, if we know who we are, and we know whose we are, now we can begin to live worthy of the one that we belong to. That don't mean you're going to earn your salvation. You couldn't do it if you tried. That don't mean you're going to deserve it. You couldn't if you tried. But the Bible tells us to live a life that's more worthy of it. If the Bible tells us to do it, it's because he wants us to do it. Therefore, the world does not know us because it didn't know him. Don't expect everybody to understand, folks. Just do it. So how should a child of God live and act and be worthy of the calling? It's right there in that package in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. With all lowliness and gentleness, come on, let's say it together. With all lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Okay, let's go over those again. Everybody said, oh, wait a minute, I got it, preacher. No, actually, we're going to be working on it the rest of our lives. That first two kind of combined together, lowliness and gentleness, man, I'm going to tell you, that's called humility. We have got to learn to be humble and allow God to use us in a way that we're not trying to promote self, but that we're willing to let God be first. That if they see anything good in us, that we will quickly make sure that everyone knows it's him, not me. We need to live in such a way that we're not trying to be the one on the throne, but we're allowing him to have his throne, his proper throne in our life, with all lowliness and gentleness. Do we confront sin with gentleness? Well, especially concerning the sinner, we better, because Jesus did. You know the only ones Jesus was ever harsh with? It was the Pharisees. It was the religious authorities that, like, were way out of line. But if you remember how he was with the sinful woman who was caught in the act of adultery, how was he with her? He was gentle. How was he with everyone else? How about the sinful woman that sneaked in and was anointing him whenever the Pharisee that he was with got so upset over it, and he didn't like that. Gentle with her. In fact, he said, to the one that's been forgiven much, will love much. You know, that reveals something about our calling. Whenever you've allowed yourself to really be forgiven by God, and you know what he's forgiven you of, you've admitted it, you've dealt with it, you're going to want to be lowly and gentle in his presence. Amen? With long-suffering. Uh-oh. I don't like that word. I like it when they translate it into newer translations to patience. It sounds better. But you know how we get patience? By being willing to suffer long. You know what patience looks like? And as tested, even when you're suffering, you're willing to do it long. You know how you find out if you can suffer long? There's only one way you're going to find out if you can do it. Okay, we get the idea. Bearing with one another in love. God wants this to be a community of love. God wants this. Hey, now wait a minute. I'm going to slow down here because I'm getting ahead of myself. What's the first church? It's your family. The first church God made in the book of Genesis was the family. But wait a minute. You mean even within our family, he wants us to bear with one another in love? He wants us to be long-suffering and gentle? He wants us to be lowly in spirit? That's where it's got to start. And then whenever we come together in this bigger family, which is a culmination of your families put together in one big family, then that'll be the condition of this family. Well, you know what looks bad to the world is when we act one way there and we act another way here. And I can tell you, kids are the first ones to see it. I've talked to a lot of kids that left the church after they grew up. You know what 99% of them say? They saw something very different from the way that especially their parents would act at church and the way their parents would act at home. Or just general church members, or maybe they've been hurt really bad by a church member that acted really pious at church, but they didn't act like that other places. I know none of us are perfect, guys. That means that whenever we mess up, we need to be quick to repent. We need to be quick to say, be lowly and gentle and humble and say, I'm sorry. That was really not how I should have responded, and I was wrong. Bearing with one another in, you know, bearing with one another in love. That's the way the home needs to look. That's the way the church needs to look. And if your smaller church at home looks like that, this church here will look like that. And it'll continue to flourish verse number 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know one of the first things that will grieve the Holy Spirit? The whole lot of disunity. Strife grieves the Spirit. That don't mean that we go along with things that are wrong. You know, I get it. You know, we need to oppose the things that are evil. We need to oppose the things that are biblically wrong, for sure. Guys, no matter what we do, we need a desire to keep the unity of the Spirit within the people of God. And so it's really important that we keep it in the bond of peace, really desiring to do that. I think this church tries to do a pretty good job of that. I'm really thankful for that, you know. I have a lot of pastors that come to me. We had a business meeting last Wednesday, and it was mentioned that there was, you know, small change, that we did announcements at the beginning, not the end. And you know, I saw some other things, you know, we thought about doing, and whenever we saw it wasn't really going to bring about the bond of peace, we kind of departed from some of that stuff. You want me to tell you what we were going to do? I'm going to do a little test run on this. We'll see what happens. We got to move the pews out so that we can put new carpet in. And when we moved the pews back in, we were going to put all the soft seats in the front. I see people heading for the door right now. So we decided that maybe that wouldn't be a good move. It wasn't a biblical thing. I don't find a verse in here that supports this. That was brought up. That was brought up. And that way you can have yours in the middle, right? Okay. Well, we decided that maybe we get too comfortable sitting in the pews anyways. What do you think? We need to be going out and serving the Lord, because we talked earlier, one of our callings is service. That's one of the ways that we work this out in a way worthy of the Lord. So anyway, this church tries to keep the unity of the bond of peace when we can, right? And I praise God for that. Whenever we saw it wasn't going to be an easy motion, maybe some would be unhappy about it. It wasn't a biblical issue. We just said, ah, forget it, whatever. Maybe someday we'll get all chairs and then everybody will be happy. So we're working on that. If anybody wants to donate to the chair fund, you can see Sister Alice. We're working on it. We'll figure out a way to get there, and we're going to figure out a way to get there together. Amen? We're not going to get crossed over side issues. They just would not take my recommendation to paint the walls purple. I don't understand why. It's almost biblical, I'm sure, but not really. All right. Bond of peace. And this is the only family you get, guys. And that's what these next verses really spoke to me. This is the only family you get if you're a child of God. This is the one church, not this local church, but like the church. There's no other people that can be the people of God. You know, a lot of people are saying, well, you know, the Hindus got something going on and the Buddhists have something going on. Always lead to the same God. No, they don't. There's only one way that leads to the Father, and it's through Jesus Christ. This is the one church. Praise God, he's called us to be part of it. Amen. And so you've got that one body and that one Spirit. Do you notice the S is capitalized? There's only one Holy Spirit. There's not a Holy Spirit for you and a Holy Spirit for me and some other. No, there's one Spirit. And you know who he gives that one Spirit? To those that are true believers in Jesus Christ. And every one of us have the Spirit living in us. He's amazing. Just as you were called. You were called in one hope of your calling. There's that one hope that we're all facing our due north to, that someday Jesus is coming back or we're going to be with him. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen on that day. He's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant, to those that are his. Come and enter into the place that is I've prepared for you. John chapter 14, he told us what he's doing. He's preparing a place for us so that where he is, we may be also. That's what we're called to, church. One Lord. There's only one. One faith. One baptism. Whenever you came to Jesus, when you gave your heart to Jesus, did you submit to that one baptism? As Baptists and as the scripture shows us, We believe that that one baptism is an immersion baptism. Were you dipped under the water as a believer, saying, I have died to my old life and I am being raised again to the new life to follow Jesus? Have you been baptized by the Holy Spirit? Because we express that one baptism in the water. That's our expression. That's our ordinance here in the church. But you know what? Part of that is, have you been baptized by the Spirit? Because that's the real one baptism that you need. Amen? The Holy Spirit would baptize you. Jesus talked about that. And you know, there's one God and Father of all. Guys, there aren't many different creators. There isn't many different ways that creation came about. There's only one way. And God, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And every person that ever lived on planet Earth were created by God. And he is the only one Father that we can go to find all of our needs, who is above all and through all and in you all. And this calling is a gracious gift of God, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So I'm going to ask you something. It's the same question we started off with. Are we walking worthy of our calling? So the whole message is pretty much about what is our calling and what does it look like and what have we been called to? We have been called to look like Jesus. We have been called to walk with Jesus. We have been called to be indwelled with the Holy Spirit. We have been called to serve him out of the strength he gives us. We have been called to be lowly and gentle. We have been called to keep unity of the Spirit. Doing? Are we walking worthy? I'm sure on some instances we go, yeah, I'm doing pretty good on this list. Not so good on this list. Don't be discouraged. And don't try to mess up your list so that it all looks good in your self-evaluation. Guys, here's the deal. The reason why God shows us and convicts us is so that he can heal us. But the first part of that armor is the belt of truth. So let's get truthful with God this morning. Let's get truthful with ourselves. And let's just confess it. Because he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then let's start walking as we walk out this door today, worthy of our calling. Let these be the first steps maybe for us to walk worthy of that calling. And maybe you say, hey, preacher, I kind of had this revelation a while back. I've been reading the Bible, and I've really been shooting for that. I say, high five, let's keep it up. But let's try to walk more worthy of our calling. The world so desperately needs us to walk that way. Don't try to blend in. Don't try to look like the world. Let's try to look like Jesus. Let me pray for you. Dear Father, I pray for this group that's here today. Let us help us to walk more worthy of that calling which you have called us by your gracious gift, Lord. It's such a gracious gift that you have called us to be your children. It is such a gracious gift that you have called us to have eternal life. It is such a gracious gift, Lord. If there's anybody here that has not received you as Lord and Savior and said, yes, Lord, I want to follow you the rest of my days. Yes, Lord, I'm a sinner and I need your forgiveness. And yes, Lord, I believe that your death, burial, and resurrection proves that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and I give my life to you today. Lord, I pray that if anybody has not yet done that, today would be the day. And Lord, that they would publicly confess it and say, I want to follow Jesus. Lord, if there's some here that have received that baptism of the Holy Spirit, but they have not yet walked through the baptism of the water baptism, then I pray that today they would do it, Lord. Just come forward and say, I need to be baptized. I need to be baptized in a scriptural way. I want to join this church. I want to become a member. Lord, I pray if there's anybody here that needs to take this step, that's part of them walking worthy of that calling, which that they've been called, that they would do that today. And there's others, Lord, that may have other things on their hearts, other things on their mind. It may be that one sin that they have just continued to repeat, that they don't want to do it anymore. Lord, I pray they would just submit it to you today. Lord, whatever it may be, I pray that we would agree with our Lord and say yes, and then walk worthy of that calling. In Jesus' name, amen.